102.3. Live from Wichita Falls, it's Sunday morning. Straight from the studio 102.3 atop the Fidelity Bank building, it's Sunday morning with Jet Black and Carolyn Gilbert.
This morning, you have tuned in on a wonderful day because we have a guest who can talk about virtually any Texas subject I have been able to dig up. Now, this guy's real name is Bob McSpadden. However, his name on the web is Texas Bob, and by the time we complete this interview, I think you'll understand why he is Texas Bob. Bob, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Carolyn. I'm glad to be here and glad to join your audience this morning.
Good. Now, Bob is in Katy, Texas. We are in Wichita Falls, but everything that he talks about is all over this gigantic state. So we feel like we've got all the bases covered here. And, you know, the burning question for me is, how in the world did you get into becoming Texas Bob?
Well, I think it started in the seventh grade.
Oh, my goodness.
which was a long time ago.
And did you just fall in love with Texas or Texas history? That's about the time it stopped.
That's right. Fourth graders and seventh graders in Texas study Texas history, and I've always loved Texas history. And when I went to school, I planned on teaching Texas history.
Uh-huh.
That's not exactly what happens, like happens a lot of times. And but my work really has nothing to do with Texas history, other than I have gotten to travel around the state quite a bit. But I'm also kind of a computer guy. I enjoy computers. That's not my primary job, but it's a tool I use. And about 10 or 11 years ago, I wanted to learn how to publish a web page. And when I discovered that the URL or the web address, texasbob.com, was available, I purchased it or rented it or however you do that.
You grabbed it.
Yeah, and I grabbed it, that's right. And that's really when I started going by the moniker of Texas Bob. And initially, I thought, well, the web was pretty new. If you think just 10 or 11 years
sure.
ago, it was large, but it wasn't what it is today. I thought, what would people like to see on the web? Well, after just a few weeks of that, I thought, to heck with what people like, what do I like? So really, Texas Bob is about 10 years of things that I enjoy doing and enjoy looking at and enjoy reading, and that's kind of where Texas Bob came from. And that's why it's really quite large, has a lot of different stuff. Is I start a new series or start a new idea or new slant, and I put it on the web, and I rarely take anything off because it's mostly timeless.
I noticed that, and our listeners, I hope, will take the opportunity to go to their computers, maybe even as we speak, to texasbob.com, because this website is so versatile and has so many different directions that it's going. I can see you could stay home all the time just building the information that goes on these various sites off your major texasbob.com site. For instance, you've got one, Texas Bob Travels, and I presume that's a little travelogue.
That's true. We've kind of changed in the last few years. As we travel around, I write about different places, and that all started how Texas Bob Travels, which was not in there originally 10 years ago, was my wife and I, who goes with me everywhere, we had decided we wanted to climb the tallest peak in Texas, which is Guadalupe Peak. It's almost into Mexico.
Yes.
It's kind of south of Carlsbad on 180. And for years, we talked about climbing Guadalupe Peak and thought, well, we could backpack and camp out. And one time, we lived out in West Texas at that time, but it was after we moved to the Houston area that we had an opportunity when we were going back to visit relatives that we decided we would actually climb Guadalupe Peak. And we did a little research and decided we really didn't want to spend the night on the mountain. It could be made in one day. And it's a long trip. It's 3,500 vertical feet, about 4.5 miles one way. I'm not an athlete. If you looked at me, you could tell. But in the books, it's listed as strenuous, and it should take from 6 to 10 hours. Well, we left on that beautiful September 15th, just early as sunrise that morning, and when we got back down to the bottom, it had been 11 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
And when we were at the top, we were exhausted. But
But once you're up there, you have to come down.
Yes, that's what I realized when I was up there. I thought it was a beautiful view. You could see Dell City and the salt flats, where the salt wars were taken between from El Paso. You can see almost El Paso. It's a ridge that juts out into the desert floor 3,000 feet below. And a lot of our family didn't think we could make it. So when I got back, I wrote a really long email to everyone telling them the story of how we did it, how we prepared.
And that you were still alive.
And I was still alive. And then I looked at it and I thought, this would be a good web page. So that started the section of my web page called Texas Bob Travels.
Well, I think for those who are listening, they really need to go to the website because there is so much information. Just sometimes it's funny sayings, sometimes it's clever places to eat and clever things to eat. But I wanted to point out one of the sayings you have posted, which I think we'll all identify with. The quote is, "I think Texans have more fun than the rest of the world." Now, any of us could have said that, but this is from Tommy Toon, who is a Broadway choreographer and dancer of great repute, and actually was born in Wichita Falls, where the station and I are located at this very moment. So that means something to us that Tommy Toon is on your website as well. Let me ask you how you came to determine that this kind of a website could be informational, but also interactional. I notice you've got, it's very family friendly. You've got things for kids to do, things for older people to do, things for really old people to do. And so talk a little bit about how you came to that conclusion that your website could be family friendly and informational as well.
Well, it started out with Texas history items, and I didn't really design it for children. But it wasn't long before I was getting an email from fourth graders asking questions, and I put a little thing on there. I said, "You can ask me any question, and if I don't know the answer, I'll make it up." And I've actually got an email from fourth graders saying, "I need to know such and such. Please don't make it up," because they want to know the answer.
This has to be real.
But sometimes I get requests that says that are so long, I give them a little guidance, but I said, "I will not do your homework." And my wife is kind of an artist, and she made up a little coloring book that you can download and print out.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
And so when I had that children's section, when I realized children were coming there, well, then it kind of laid a little bit more responsibility on me over exactly what I would put on the web page. And it would, I always tell people, if there's anything offensive on there, please let me know. So, because I actually have a section where I tell oil field stories, and they can get colorful if you're not careful.
Yeah, we're going to get to those oil field stories in just a minute.
So I have a section for children that they can download the coloring book. I've had a lot of notes from teachers that they appreciate it. And we started out with six pictures, I think, and some lady wrote me and said, if you had eight of those, it'd make a very nice embroidered quilt. so we added a couple more, and I think there's about 11 different pictures that are the state symbols and different parts about Texas. They're very, very simple and to color, and they're really probably a little young for fourth graders, but a lot of homeschoolers use it.
Sure.
And then I have, when I added that section just for children, well, I added a few games and Texas-based games that are JavaScript, which is kind of a computer term, but...
Well, you are a computer geek.
I am a computer geek.
Self-described computer geek.
And I like to experiment with it. So that's how we came up with that, was because so many children were coming to the site.
And you mentioned the quilts. I noticed on the site there is a special section about quilts. And when I went to it, it's very colorful, and I'd like you to talk about the quilts a little bit. Let me first remind our listeners that we are talking to Bob McSpadden, who is Texas Bob. He sounds like he is the official website of the state of Texas. I don't think he is, but as far as I'm concerned, he is, because he has got so much wonderful information. So, Bob, talk about the quilting aspect of your site.
Well, my wife is a quilter, and when I first came up with this idea to have a web page, she actually said, make a quilt page.
Well,
that's
did.
Not exactly what happened, but I do have a section on quilts, and if you're married to a quilter, you spend a lot of time cutting and things. I've quilted
right.
a little, but you bleed too much when you quilt. You get stuck with that needle, and so I do have a small section on quilts, but just a couple of years ago, you know, they have one of the, if not the largest, one of the largest quilt shows in the world here in Houston every November. Why
yes.
they have it on the Gulf Coast is, I don't know, but it is huge. And we go to it occasionally, and I couldn't find a web page, so one of my Texas Bob Travels pages is actually the Houston quilt show from a man's point of view. And right before that quilt show goes on, a lot of people visit that page, and I get a lot of email from people around the country wanting to know where to stay in Houston and what to do while they're in Houston. So I kind of come from the quilting in a natural aspect. I know my wife made a postage stamp quilt one time, and I think I cut out 5,000 or 6,000 little squares before she got the colors that she wanted. So that's how we got into the quilting, and there's not too much on there. There's a couple of family pictures of and a project for making a quilt out of T-shirts.
Right.
We made that for our children. You know, your kids have camp shirts and,
sure.
and things like that, and literally they have, I want to say hundreds, but gosh, 20 or 30 or 40 of them by the time they get out of high school. So we would actually make those quilts for our family members who are graduating from high school and back them with something heavy, but we would tack them. And quilters will know what I'm talking
I'm
about.
Sure
we,
they do.
We would tack them. And also, I had in the past built a simple quilt frame for my wife. And so I drew those plans up, and I put those on online, and those get a lot of attention because they can be built with a hand saw and some two befores
sure.
Pretty easily.
Now, and I want to ask you, you've already identified several hobby kind of things and various skills that you have. I'm looking at the headline on your website, and it lists things like the computer geek, of course, and oil patch stories, your travels, of course, the chuck wagon, football, which I'll save for the last because that, of course, is the premier Texas sport. But I do wish you would talk a little bit about these oil patch tales. You know, we are sitting right in the middle of the oil patch, and many of our cities in and around Wichita Falls have just celebrated their centennials. So we go back quite a ways, and most of our towns emerged because of oil. So I'm looking on the list of oil patch tales, and while I won't read each one of them, I'll let you pick one that you think our listeners would enjoy. And again, folks, this is Sunday Morning Live, and we are talking with Texas Bob, texasbob.com, Bob McSpadden. And Bob, can you pick one of these oil patch tales that you think our listeners would enjoy?
Well, let me give you a little background on it first. I was born and raised in Odessa, Texas.
That is west.
I spent 15 years in McCamey, Texas, which was an old boom town
sure.
from 1926, and I still work in the oil industry today. So I come from that background, and one of the things I wanted to do with the oil patch tales was to capture some of the stories that you hear. And many times, and I'm sure some of the towns up there, there's always a story about the Discovery Well and how that they
sure.
actually didn't drill it where they meant to because the guy didn't want to move it, he missed a stake, and things like that. So you hear that same story all over the state, even though it's a different location. So I wanted to capture a few of those, and one that I'll share with you is one that I had heard. I came in the gas processing industry, and it was about a man who had a problem with ants in his backyard. And someone told him, he said, well, if you took some ethyl mercaptan and poured it all over that ant bed, it would kill them. Well, ethyl mercaptan is what gives that really bad odor to natural gas or propane or any of the petroleum products, and it really, really smells bad. And it's so you'll know if it's leaking in your house.
Sure.
Well, I told it in a kind of a story, and he took it home in a mason jar and went out in his alley. And I visualized these people as ones I knew in places I had been, and he poured it up and down the alley. He was working at night, and he got home that morning, and he poured it up and down the alley and went inside and took a shower and went to bed. And about 1 in the afternoon, he was woken up by backhoes and people working out in his alley. And his wife says, they've cut the gas off in the whole neighborhood because we have a gas leak in the backyard. And he said it's going to be a week before they replace it, so your supper is going to be cold today. Well, he went back out to work and told the guy, said, you knew that they would do that. Why didn't you tell me that? You suggested this stuff. And he goes, well, you got rid of your ants, didn't you? They dug them up and hauled them off. So that was a story that I had heard several times in several different
versions.
Venues,
yeah.
And I thought, well, somebody needs to write this down before it's lost.
Very good thinking. And you've got, at least 10 or 12 stories that I think our listeners would enjoy going to that site to get a feel for these things, that you've recorded some history that might have otherwise gone unnoticed.
I actually attempted one time to write a book, and I have two chapters on my webpage and titles for about four others, and it was one of the hardest things I ever did, and if I ever finished it, that it'd have to be published by Hallmark because it would probably be more of a pamphlet than a book. I found it very difficult to
and
do.
And speaking of that, you've even got some Texas greeting cards on your site as well. So you're in Texas Books and, of course, the Activity Center, which we mentioned. I'd like you to talk a little bit about the post office's page on TexasBob.com.
Well, that was just, I was up in the panhandle. And I took a picture of a post office in Dawn, Texas, which is close to Amarillo. I couldn't even exactly tell you where it is, but it was just a bright, sunshiny day, and the American flag was just standing out straight. And I thought, I have to take this picture. And I took that picture, and after I got back in my truck, the lady came out and was sweeping in this wind, and I thought, gosh, I wish I'd have had it with her out there sweeping.
Sure.
And then I got to where I was just attracted to post offices before the government came in and built a new one, you know, some older post offices. So, and I have some, I'm not going to say they're modern, but I have some more than just little storefront ones on there. But soon I had 8 or 9 or 10 post offices. So, well, now that's just how you start these little series. You start collecting these post office pictures, and pretty soon you've got a whole board full of them.
And you know, it could be possible that some of our listeners would have some photos of the old post offices, maybe in this region, Wichita Falls, Henrietta, Bowie, Nocona, out west toward Electra, Quanah, Vernon. There's some wonderful post offices that are out in our area, and maybe they could even add these to your collection.
Sure, I have people write me all the time. The funniest email I got about post offices is somebody said, asked me about Damon, Texas, or somewhere like that, and said, well, where is this? Well, every post office I post has a zip code. If you just put the zip code on the internet, you'll find it really easily.
Well, I want us to move from mailing the mail to seeking out one's genealogy, and you have a great page, Texas Bob's Genealogy. Now, I've got to read your introductory statement here. Years ago, there was a wagon train moving west that came upon a big sign that said, "This way to the promised land." Those who could read followed it. Those who didn't came to Texas. Now, that's not very nice, Bob.
No, it's not. I have to give credit to a friend of mine that told me that one time, and I just thought it was funny.
But you have a great list here on Texas families, family documents. You have obituaries, which, of course, are my love. And I'd like for you to talk a little bit about that page.
Those are all my family, or my wife's. My father, who's no longer living, he did a lot of genealogy research in the 60s, which was a lot harder than it is today during the internet.
Yes.
And that's how I got started with that. Sometimes I go to fourth grade classes and speak on Texas history, and I try to get those children to think about their personal history, because I think that's where the love of history starts.
That's a great idea.
I encourage them to go home and say, ask your grandmother why she lives here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how she got here, or ask your grandmother to tell you about her grandmother. And I said, you can go back a long ways, and you'll find out a lot of interesting things. And then I also try to tie some Texas history to wherever the location that the school happens to be in. But I've always enjoyed Texas genealogy, and my father traced the last name of Witcher, which is W-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Yes, I see that on your Witcher.
And they came to Texas, or my branch of it came to Texas, on traditionally Christmas Eve of 1860. And I've found the oldest grave and done those things because I'm a little bit of a cemetery tromper and those sort of things. But
I don't know when you have time to work, Bob. You've got so much going on.
Well, I will tell you that one time I came home and I told my wife, I said, we need to go to such and such cemetery in Williamson County Saturday, tomorrow. And we went up to the cemetery and found a grave that we had looked for 20 years ago and couldn't find it, but now we can find it because of the internet. And we took a picture of a football stadium. We ate at a restaurant, and I ended up with four web pages out of that one
day
trip.
There you go.
Sometimes you just do a lot of
multitasking. That's what it is.
Yeah.
On this same page of genealogy, and you do have obituaries, and then I notice elsewhere on the site, you have Sam Houston's obituary listed in with your Texas documents, and I'm just wondering how you come by this information. Is it, are you first-hand, second-hand, third-hand?
No, Sam Houston obituary, which is very unusual, and I haven't seen it in too many places, but I found that in a book published of old newspapers, and it's painstakingly scribed it out of it is what I did.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm not going to say Sam Houston's my hero. He's a very colorful character, but he's the most interesting person I've ever studied. And there was a book written about him in the last couple of years by Haley, James Haley, that
yes.
was just wonderful about Sam Houston. And I've heard that Sam Houston did more before he came to Texas than most people do in a lifetime. And so he's one of my characters that I think is interesting to study. So I found that obituary and included that in the historical document.
And it is on the site, and you can download it and save it for your own records if you'd like.
Sure, you can print them out.
And I also wanted to ask you, you refer to the biggest internet database around in searching for genealogy. What is that, the Mormon site you're referring to, or is it your site you're referring to on genealogy?
I don't remember that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The LDS side, of course, is large, but I'm sitting here trying to think. I have a big database on my website, but it's not genealogy.
We'll figure that one out for our next interview. Where we live, there happens to be a community of camels. We have a couple of ranchers who raise camels, and of course our area is perfect for that because there's precious little grass, there's a lot of sand, there's mesquite tree infestation. But on your documents, you have something called the camel experiment. Now, is that real camels you're talking about?
Yes, that was something that Jefferson Davis, when he was the Secretary of War in Washington before the Civil War, they were looking for some animals of burden to use in the Great American Desert. And they came in Indianola, and this Eccles, Colonel Eccles, or whoever it was in that article there, he kept a daily log, and they went up through from Val Verde and up through to Fort Davis and Fort Stockton and around there, and it was kind of an experiment. So, and that page for me is, from a web point, is a kind of a technical experiment, too, because on the left side is a calendar. You can just click on the day, and it tells what he wrote on that day.
Oh, my goodness.
And it also has footnotes in it so that you can connect sites that he went to, and that the footnote will tell you kind of where that is in the modern day, so you kind of know where that is if you actually want to drive out there and look. But they took a bunch of camels all the way out to West Texas as an experiment, and, of course, they had a terrible time getting from Howard's Well to the Pecos River, which is the most barren area as far as water goes. And they said the mules, they had mules too, were actually biting the bungs out of the drums trying to get water out of them. So it was another document that I came across actually in print that I kind of built that page around because I found it just very interesting.
In your introductory statement on your site, we've mentioned that you're a web publisher, a computer geek, an instrument fitter. What's that, an instrument fitter?
You're talking about that long list of things.
Yes.
That was an exercise I saw one time where you take words that represent your life.
Uh-huh.
And
at some point,
when I first started working for a major oil company, I was an instrument fitter. I was an instrument electrician. I did both pneumatic and electrical controls.
I see.
And as you go down the list, it's almost chronological.
Yes, I can kind of see that in the the reading. Our listeners, I would like to remind you that we have been talking with Texas Bob, and if you go to his website, turn your speakers just down slightly, because he opens that website with a big, what is it, Bob?
A big yee-haw.
Yee-haw, and it is a big one. So, so get ready for that when you go to that site. Bob McSpadden, we thank you so much for your time today and for joining us on Sunday Morning Live. I hope our listeners will go to TexasBob.com. Lots of good information, and it also is a good example of what other computer geeks can do in their particular geographical area. You have done a lot for the whole state of Texas, but a lot of it is geographically centered around where you have lived and where you presently live. So it's a wonderful example for us to build other websites. And the final words from your your illustration of the many things you've been during your life. We're a fun lover and a serious guy.
That's right.
Bob McSpadden, Texas Bob. Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Bye. Bye.
A cool morning leads way to a warm and breezy afternoon. Temperatures climb from the lower 40s to the lower 70s. Lots of sunshine is also in store for us as some high clouds could migrate into the area. The wind will shift to the southwest at 120 miles per hour with gusts up to 30. From the KUZ Storm Team Command Center, I'm meteorologist Matt Posguy for Lone Star 102.3.
People say she's only in my head. It's gonna take time, but I